Want to talk tonight. Appreciated Terry's message last week. How many were here last week, heard Terry's message? And she's a teacher. She talked about walking in Christ and in the Lord. She talked about behavior. Thought it was excellent. And there was some involvement afterwards with scriptures. So I thought that was pretty cool. And keeping in what we've been talking about, 2 weeks ago we talked about walking in holiness and righteousness. And I wanted to follow that up, both of those messages tonight. And I want, the title of the message tonight is 9 Ways to Walk in Freedom. So you'll want to take some good notes tonight. Some keys to walking, especially today, as Christians. We need to hear what God is saying. It's so difficult sometimes to walk in the unseen world, things we don't see. And God said that's more important than things we see. Amen? And so I want to talk tonight about those steps and hopefully help us, especially during this time. The best thing to do is not to listen to any news. Just don't listen to any news. I don't know about you, but when I listen to news, I get upset. Most of news are opinions anymore. We don't really get the news. If you know of a good news source, tell me. Even Christian news sources sometimes seem to be more opinion than they are just news. Just give me the facts, and I'll work out the rest. And so my suggestion is don't listen to any news. Don't listen to anything. Just pray. But, of course, we have to stay informed somewhat. So let's pray. Father, thank you for strength. Thank you for strength, God. Thank you for your spirit that dwells in us. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us and guide us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, as we look at your word tonight, very basic message, but, Father, something that we can count on, Lord, that we can remind ourselves, Father, that we do walk not according to the precepts of this world. We don't walk according to what we see, but what we don't see, God. And Lord, we thank you for your kingdom that you're establishing in our hearts and in our lives, giving us strength. More and more each day we're getting stronger, Lord, walking in you. Keep us close to you, Father. We thank you so much for your spirit that dwells with us and in us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So number one, walking in the steps of faith. And it's a key to righteousness. Number one, walking in the steps of faith. Romans chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, Romans 4:12. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures in Romans 4. But Romans 4:12, matter of fact, let's read just a little bit about Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. Romans 4:12 says, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but all who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. You know, when God made that promise to Abraham, he made it to him when he had no children at all. Said, let's take a walk. Took him out, showed him the stars in the sky and the sand. He said, look at this sand here. Your descendants will be more than that and more than the stars than you could see. That's a powerful word. And God speaks things to us in our personal lives. God speaks to things when we read His Word. He speaks things in our heart, and we need to relate to that. We need to really grab onto that, because if God promises us something, even when we don't see it, if we know God told us, how many know that's going to come to pass? There are promises that He spoke to us that we still don't see. So, how do we walk in the steps of faith? Number one, we need to hear the Word of God. You know, you say, God, are you sure? Well, just read His Word. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And so the only thing that we hear, we listen a lot, but do we really hear? The Word of God tells us over and over and over again. Hear the Word of God. Secondly, how do we walk in the steps of faith? Is desire the fulfillment of the Word. We need to believe God to fulfill His promises. We just read in Romans 4:18. Let me read it again. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that He became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And so we need to have the faith of Abraham, desire the fulfillment of the Word. If you're believing something in your life, if you're believing for something for your family or for your career or for your relationships or for your life, desire it daily and take it before the Lord. First hearing the Word of the Lord and then desiring. Number three, pray according to your sanctified desire. God said He would give us the desire of our hearts. When it's lined up to the Word of God, there's no reason why it shouldn't come to pass. There's no reason if we release our faith. God said if we ask in faith, believing that we'll receive, we will receive. Pray according to your sanctified desire. And what do I mean by that? We don't pray according to our desire if it's not according to the Word of God. But if it's according to the Word of God, it's our sanctified desire, and God promises us that we'll have it. 2 Corinthians 4:13, listen to what it says. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. You can't say you're walking in faith if you're not speaking what you don't see. You can't say it's faith, see? If we're speaking something, just continue to call it as though it were. If it's sanctified desire, God will give us the desire of our heart. I'm going to have this job. I'm going to have this money. I'm going to have this relationship. I'm going to have this. You continue to speak it as though it were already happening. Just like God spoke to Abraham and He said, I've made you the father of many nations, when he had no children at all. That's the kind of faith that we're asked to walk in. How do we walk in freedom? Number one, we walk in faith. And the fourth thing about that is confess it as being done. Confess it as being done. In Genesis 17:5, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Again, He already said, God said, I've already made you a father of many nations when nothing else was available. Nothing at all. He had no children. He only had one wife. How are you going to do that? If God said it, confess it as being done. One of the things that I've shared very openly about this in my life is since I've come here, and I've been a Christian many years and saw many things in my life, but I had physical infirmity. I had both of my legs were so sore a year and a half, 2 years ago, that I could hardly walk. And many people prayed for me. But I continued to confess it as if I was already healed. People suggested I go see a doctor. My wife wanted me to go see a doctor, and then she began to pray with me. And we just believed God would heal me, and I confess it as being done. I could barely walk up steps, and now I'm running 5 miles a day, every other day. My legs are healed. But I confessed it as being done. It's very difficult for me because I had some moments of weakness. God, well, I thought I was healed. You told me I was healed. And God kept telling me, I'd go to prayer. God, I want you to heal me. You're already healed. And it wasn't manifesting. See, healing is bread for our, that's one thing that we have difficulty with, but healing is our bread. Healing is our right. And so we just keep holding on to it. See? And I'd like to say it happened overnight. It didn't. It took months. But it built my faith. See? Add to your faith. So confess it as being done. Next, believe you receive. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Two verses that are very familiar, but I want to look at it kind of close tonight. This is still under number one. Walking in the steps of faith is walking in freedom. So Mark chapter 11. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, verse 23, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Are you hearing that tonight? For assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now, a mountain is a problem. A mountain is a need. A mountain is a sickness. A mountain is whatever that mountain is. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. There's the key. Not doubting in your heart. But believes that those things he says will be done. Now you'll notice what it said. Let's look at that a little bit. Let's put a microscope on that thing. It says, be removed and be cast into the sea. It does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things, who says? He says, the things that you say, not the things that somebody else said. You're not going to get there by somebody else's faith. You're going to get there by your faith, the things that you say. You've already sanctified. It's a sanctified desire. You're already confessing it as being done. Now you've got to believe that you receive. Therefore, I say to you in verse 24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. There's no footnotes. There's no little thing there saying, see the footnotes. Jesus didn't say, if you don't understand, see me later. See, this is a promise, and it's a promise to you and to me. Walking in freedom. See? Many people like to say this is going to happen and this is going to fall apart. We have more faith to believe things are going to fall apart than they're going to be okay. So what if the world falls apart? God's going to take care of me. And my Bible says when I leave here, I'm going to be with Him. So win-win. Are you there? In our troubled world and the things that we're facing, we've got to stay with this. We've got to hold on to it. I love what this says. I traveled with a guy to India years ago, and I've given a testimony before, but he was sent home with stage 4 cancer. His arms and legs were atrophied. He'd laid in bed for so long, and he asked his sister to give him a Bible, and he confessed Mark 11, 23, and 24 every time he was awake. Just began to confess it. Said, Lord, I believe I'm healed. I'm not going to die. They sent him home. They said, you got 4 weeks to live, stage 4 cancer. He was on a mission with me, with a team of 9 other people. Physically fit, man. No cancer in his body. But he kept confessing and confessing and confessing. And he told me, Rick, there were times at night that I'd wake up in a cold sweat, shaking, and just at death's door. But I believed that God was going to heal me. And I refused to hear anything else. And he wouldn't allow some family members and some friends even to come visit him. Don't even come near me because you're going to cry. You're going to tell me I'm going to die. And I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. Hello. See, you've got to work through the difficulty of unbelieving people around you. You've got to say, okay, no, if you're believing this, it doesn't give time. It doesn't say in 5 minutes everything will be okay. But it's going to be okay. Next, after believing you receive, do the corresponding action. James chapter 2, we went through it. We went through the book of James, verse 14 to 20, 26. Faith and works. Work it out. Begin to act like that prayer is being answered, even when it's not. Abram believed in what God said, and God reckoned it unto him as righteousness, even when there was no children yet. And Abraham means the father of many nations. So when he introduced himself, he didn't introduce himself anymore as Abram. He introduced himself as Abraham. Hi, I'm Abraham. Abraham meaning the father of many nations. Oh, how many kids you got? I don't have any children. How are you the father of many nations? Look, it'll take too long to explain. Because when you walk in faith, people will, there'll always be the naysayers. There'll always be people that say it's not going to happen. We've got a nation full of people now that are not walking by faith. Everything's going to be destroyed. It's going to fall apart. We think one person sitting in one chair in the White House is going to cause the whole country to go in destruct mode. God is not shaken by presidents and kings. God has His timetable. And I believe we're walking into our finest hour in America. Next is persevere until you receive. Stay with it. Romans 4:20 says He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's that time travel that we go through. That time, sometimes when we're believing God for something, it seems like every hour is 3 days sometimes. God, when is this going to come to pass? When are you going to? And we must stay with believing and receiving and doing the corresponding acts. Act like as if God has already answered the prayer, because He has. Because He has. The next way to walk in freedom is to walk in newness of life. It's a key to survival. If we're going to add to our faith, we've got to walk as if we are new creations all the time, remembering that we are. And the newness that's talked about in Scripture is not new 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It's new all the time. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That phrase, newness of life, I challenge you to do a word study on that. And that's talking about newness all the time. We're new all the time. We never wear out. We're not new and improved. We're new all the time. Come on, somebody. If you grab onto that, it'll change the way you look at life. We have become partakers with Christ because of being born again. Let me give you some scriptures about being partakers. You ready? Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. So every promise in the Word of God is mine. We're not taken out of any of the promises. We are, our name is, if it's a promise in the Word of God, it's ours. Philippians 1:7 says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. So we are partakers of the grace of God no matter what goes on in our life. We are partakers of the grace of God. Grace is more than just unmerited favor. Grace is the power of God to prevail. It's the power of God to prevail. Man, we've got to add to this faith thing and walk in newness of life. I'm new all the time. I'm not carrying yesterday's problems into today. Today's a new day. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So not only we are partakers of the promise and partakers of grace, we are partakers of the inheritance. And what's that mean? It means that I've inherited eternal life. I have eternal favor. I've inherited favor. I've inherited the grace of God. I've inherited the power of God. Those are my things by inheritance. I'm a child of the living God. I'm royal, see. The world would like me to say that I've missed a couple of steps, or I'm missing something. I'm not missing anything. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I'm a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. And that goes on to say I'm a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What's that mean? It means that it's clearly seen by me. I'm not poking around looking for something. It's my inheritance to be healthy. It's my inheritance to be prosperous. It's my inheritance to be wise. It's my inheritance to be holy. Those are things that are given me by the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ready for another? In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So what's it say? We partakers of the heavenly calling. What's that mean? It means that heaven is behind us no matter what we do. As long as we're in following God and obeying God, we have the heavenly calling on our side. And what's that mean? That means a bunch of things. It means that we have Jesus is answering our prayer. We have angels assisting us. We have the Holy Spirit assisting us. We have God assisting us. God's intent is that we walk in victory. God rescues us a lot. How many have been rescued by God? And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. I'd be dead. Wasn't from God. He rescued me even when I was an idiot. He rescued me. But that's not God's major intent, is that we walk in victory, not be rescued. That we walk in consistent victory. Now he doesn't come down on us when we fall. If we fall, we arise, the scripture says. The righteous man falls seven times and recovers. But it's God's intent that we walk in victory. Because why? We're partakers of the heavenly calling. That same chapter in Hebrews 3, if you look down in verse 14, it says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What's that mean? It means partakers of Christ. I am a part of the body of Christ. He's in me, but I'm in Him. You're not hearing me tonight. He's in me, but I'm in Him. I make up the body of Christ. That means everything that God intended to protect Him, to set Him on the throne, to make sure He's victorious, to build His kingdom, as long as I'm following Jesus, I'm part of His body. Flip over to Hebrews 12 and verse 10. It says, for they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Far beyond the steadfast confidence is we are partakers of His holiness. And sometimes to get there, we're chastened by God. Thank God for His chastening. Thank God that He corrects us and keeps us in His graces. How many have learned to listen to that still small voice? My dad was not a still small voice guy. He'd do a lot of screaming. I didn't have a very good dad. He screamed at me. But how many know the Holy Spirit loves us and He gives us that still small voice? And when we don't listen, when we go ahead and do it anyway, it's chastening time. He's good at whooping us too. But if we'll listen to His voice, we'll miss all that. But thank God He chastened us. Thank God He corrects us. And lastly, in 2 Peter 1:4, by which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Watch what it says. It says we are partakers of the divine nature. It means that we are being introduced to the divine that lives in us. We're divine. Turn to somebody and say, you're divine. Wow. Man, I don't feel divine sometimes. But we have a divine nature with us, and we've been partakers of that. And every one of us has sensed that at one time or another. Maybe when we're praying for somebody, maybe we're in prayer, maybe when we're praying and fasting, maybe when we're worshiping, maybe when we're doing something spiritual. But a lot of times, it's when we don't feel anything, and then God just visits us and gives us that we know that we're part of something much bigger than us. So walking by faith, walking in the steps of faith, then walking in newness of life. Number three, walking in the Spirit. It's a key to communion. It's a key to communion. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is easy if we'll listen to the Spirit of God. It becomes difficult when we listen more to the things of the world and the temptations of the world than of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And you know, the longer we walk with the Lord, the more we realize what that means. It keeps us out of a lot of trouble if we'll stay in the Spirit of God. Again, walking in the invisible, the things we don't see. So not only do we walk in faith, not only do we walk in newness of life and in the Spirit. Number four is walking in good works. It's the key to obedience. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 4, beginning in verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. We're talking about walking in good works. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, this should give you great comfort. We've covered this many times, but this should give you great comfort in the Lord. See, Terry talked about in the Lord. See, if our behavior lines up to his word, God made works for us to walk in before the foundations of the world. God laid out your life before you ever were thought about by anyone. God said, I have a plan for Rick. I've got this plan. I've laid out the works for you. And if you'll just obey me and walk in my steps, I've got it all taken care of. And how many know that those works are successful? Back to Abraham. God said, I made you the father of many nations. Abraham said, I can't even have children anymore, and you're talking to me about nations. Abraham could have never known the effect he would have. We're still talking about him 3,500 years after the fact. Almost 4,000 years later, we're talking about the father of our faith. At 80 years old, God said, I'll make you the father of many nations. Or 85. It wasn't until he was almost 100 years old until he realized that. First child. Can you imagine that? What's God said to you that you say, it's impossible anymore? I can't do this anymore, God. I've failed so many times at this thing. I can't do it anymore, God. And God's saying, if you just wait on me, if you just watch me, I'll show you how to do it. I'll make you successful. Doesn't matter how many times we failed. That's not what it's about. I love getting into the characters of the Bible. Abraham, can you imagine? All the years when his wife was childbearing, how they would, because he was a man of faith long before that thing. So he'd He'd say, come on, honey, let's do it. Let's just try some more. We can have babies. 40 years old, 50 years old, we can have babies. And every time, coming up short. And then God visiting at a time when everything was done. It was something that he hadn't even thought about. Probably for years. God said, I'm making you a father of many nations. I want to know, is there any problem that you have that even comes near that? So you've failed. So it hasn't come to pass. Big deal. Forget it. Today's a new day. God will make you successful. He guarantees it. He's not punishing you. He's not getting any jollies for you. Just continue to stand, because the works that you are about to walk in, if you'll say, God, I want to start all over again. I want to walk in good works. God says, okay, I'll show you the next step. Just stick with me. We had mice problems when we were in Philadelphia. We had mice in the church. And man, we set traps. We did all kinds of things. We couldn't get rid of mice. And so we had an exterminator in. It was a friend of a friend of a friend. And he just came in, walked to church with me. And he said, you know something about mice? Is mice are blind, but they have the long hairs. And they'll walk along the wall. And that's usually where you set traps, along the wall. And they'll memorize where those traps are. And so instead of the first time they go through there, they'll walk. But they've got good memories. So they know where those traps are, so they can run really fast and jump over each trap. I've never forgotten that. And God says, memorize things, man. Trust me, and I'll show you. Though you can't see, I can, and I'll show you how to avoid the pitfalls of life. I'll show you how to, you got to walk through it, just walk through it. So, of course, we began to move traps around, and we caught all kinds of mice. Walk in good works. Number five, probably the most important, the hinge point of the whole thing is walk in love. It's the key to victory. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. It's not good for us to hate, to have any regret, it's not good for us to treat anyone other than in a loving manner. God will settle things. He says the battle is his. We're to love our enemies, love our friends. We're to walk in love. Love is the one thing that will draw the sinner and repel the enemy. I'm in the midst right now of witnessing, and it's been a 2-year ordeal with a certain person I've been witnessing to for a long time. And I'm saying, God, can I go for the throat now? Now, I've got him. He's got a full belly. I'm sitting there. Can I go for the throat now? Because he just says stuff that it's like I could just throw the bait in the water and he could take it. God keeps saying, wait. And I just got to love on him. Because sometimes he'll say things that make me mad. I mean, we've been through this before. We've just got to love. Love is the most powerful force that we have. Love is not wimpy. Love is not, oh, I love you and I'm not going to challenge you. No, if you love somebody, love covers a multitude of sins. You love somebody, they say, well, and they know you're not supposed, why do you still love me? Man, I'm trying to push you away, but we just love them and pour love upon them. Jesus taught us that, to walk in love. Man, we've just got to do that. Number six is, walk in wisdom. It's the key to soul winning. If we walk in wisdom, it's really the key to winning people to Christ. It says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, you'll notice it does say, maybe your version says, let your speech sometimes be with grace. Other times, tell people off. That's in a weird version. Other time, tell people off. Walk in grace, always be with grace, but other time, season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We need to be wise in this time. You know, there's always taken polls. What do you think? Do you think Trump will make a good president, or do you think Clinton will make a good president? I think Jesus Christ is a good king. I think, thank Jesus Christ is a good Lord. He'll take care of everything else. I don't want to answer that question. I get in trouble either way I answer it. Come on, somebody. And I get caught up in conversations. I have to repent. I have to, afterwards I say, God, I'm sorry. Because people want you to say things that are that are popular or unpopular. Which side do you fall on? Man, I fall on the side of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be over spiritual. I don't think you can be over spiritual in today's world. You just can't be over spiritual. You can't be weird. I mean, we've got to bring the invisible to bear on this, superimpose over this crazy world that we live in. Is it me, or has the world changed very quickly in the last 5-10 years? People always say that. When I was young, you know, old people used to say, boy, the world's nothing like it was when I was young. But it's really not. It's not like it was when I was 10 years ago. I was old. And we have to superimpose faith on this thing. We have to walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside. Their very lives depend on it. Because they've been asked to believe lies, what the Word of God says and what it doesn't say. We have politicians that are quoting the Word, twisting it to their own gain, actually using it for votes. We've got to we've got to walk in wisdom. We've got to walk in wisdom. Oh God, help us. I've stuck both of my feet in my mouth, my elbows and my knees. But I have to walk in wisdom. Sometimes the wisest thing to do is just keep your trap shut and pray. Do you have any opinion? No, I don't have any opinion. I'm sorry if you think I'm stupid. I'm not going to say anything. Because whatever I say, I'm going to get in trouble. Is there anybody there but me? What do you think, Pastor? I don't know. I don't know what's going to change. I only know that God knows. And if He wants me to know, He'll let me know. Until then, I just have to trust the Lord. I've been praying for my son. My son was saved at 5.5 years old and baptized at 6 and baptized in the Holy Ghost at 7 and walked with God for a while. And he's on his way back. He's on his way back. And I was with him the other night. He gets lively around midnight. At 62, I don't get lively at midnight, but so we're sitting out on his deck at midnight, and we've been talking for about 1.5 hours, and he starts talking to me about the Antichrist. I did not take the bait for a while, because when Dad starts talking to him about the things of the Lord, he doesn't want to talk about it. He thinks he's got things figured out, so I try to just shut up and pray for him. How many have kids, you know what I'm talking about? They start to roll their eyes, oh no, here he goes preaching a sermon again. So I just let him talk for about 10 minutes. And then he started asking me questions. He really wanted to know about the spirit of Antichrist. He says, Dad, I see it everywhere. I see the spirit of Antichrist everywhere. Well, what's this thing? Do you think the end of the world is near? Hello. Hi. So for the next hour or so, we got to talk about the things of the Lord. But God showed me in wisdom how just to get enough out there to where He was willing to talk about it and willing to hear that what He was sensing was right. We are in the end times. There is a spirit of Antichrist in our world. But I said it's okay. Because if there's a spirit of Antichrist, there's the spirit of Christ. And He trumps, to use a tongue-in-cheek word, trump. He trumps what the Antichrist is doing. Walk in wisdom. Number 7, turn to 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1. Everybody okay? Is this all right? I'm feeling pretty good, by the way. I was feeling pretty bad at the beginning of this thing, but I'm not feeling too... Feel like maybe I could dance. 1 John 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Let me turn here because I want to read a couple verses before. Let's start in verse 5. It says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Underline that. In Him is no darkness at all. If you have room, boy, I'm gonna get in trouble. Start to preach here. If you have room beside that, write, let there be light. Beside there, in quotations. And then do a little study on what that is. Let there be light. God said, let there be light. Watch what it says. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'd like to think I memorize like the mice where things are, and I have stubbed my toe on more furniture in the dark than I'd like to believe. Come on, somebody. Are you the same? You ever poked around in the dark and tripped over something, fell? It's our own fault because we have what's called lights. Turn on the light switch. If we walk into, if there's any darkness in us, we say we have fellowship with God who is light, and there's any darkness in us, we deceive ourselves. What's it say? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, this is our choice, walking in the light. It's a key to clear vision. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, and then it says in verse 5, He is light. He's in the light and He is light. Selah. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ and His Son cleanses us from all sin. I want to be in the light. And it seems to say that we have the power of the light switch. We can turn on the light or turn off the light. God gives us free will. Walk in the light. Number 8, walk according to His commandments. It's a key to humility. We don't get to, because we're all that in the bag of chips, because we have the inheritance, because we walk by faith, because we're all of that, we still have to walk by His commandments. There's still do's and don'ts that we have to walk by. Amen? We don't get a free pass. 2 John 6 says, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. That means we don't compromise. We don't make amends for things that are comfortable in our lives. Sometimes we've got to be uncomfortable because that's walking in His commandments. Don't set any evil thing before us. Don't do the things that the world does. Don't make excuses for things in your life. If you want to hear God clearly, if you want to walk with Him, and if you want to walk in freedom, you have to walk according to His commandments. In my own self, I don't like a lot of rules and regulations. Don't give me rules and regulations. I'm a leftover hippie. The whole thing for being the hippie thing was we railed against government. We railed against any rules. If it said don't walk in the grass, we walked across the grass. Don't tell me I can't walk in the grass. God made the grass. I'll walk across the grass if I want to. There's something within us that rails against authority. But if we want the fullness of God, if we want to walk at freedom, we've got to toe the line. That's just the way it is. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. It's still a law. Walking in freedom means we toe the line. It's not the good old boys club. I get very uncomfortable when I get close to some people and they kind of poke me and make, you know, leave holiness and tell off-color jokes. And no, I'm not like that. I don't want to be like that, see? I don't want to be one way this time and another way another time. That's not holiness. That's not walking in His commandments. It's the unguarded moment. It's what you do when nobody's around. Woo-hoo. Come on, someone. That's the toughest when no one's around. In a secret place. You know, secret. Nobody sees you. Hey, I can do this. Nobody sees me. But God sees you. He's got a little file. If you repent, it's taken away. But if you don't repent, He's got a little file He keeps. Anybody there? I want to make sure that file's empty when I go to be with Him. I don't want Him to have to go through that whole list. Hope there's no list. Walking according to His commandments. And lastly, walking in truth is a key to freedom. 3 John chapter 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." How many have heard that verse before? That's a famous verse. "May you prosper as your soul prospers, that you walk in health." But watch what it says afterward. "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." This is Paul or John writing and saying, I have no greater peace. I have no greater joy. I have no greater than to hear that you're walking in the truth. Now, what's that mean? It means no matter what we're doing, we're walking in the truth of the Word of God. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means we're headed towards perfection. We walk in the truth of the Lord. What's God say? God say, love your enemies. Then nobody, we shouldn't be talking about anybody in a derogatory manner or wishing anybody harm. I had occasion to be around somebody. It's nobody in the church here, but I had occasion to be around somebody when the big thing came out about Hillary Clinton being, you know, sick and diagnosed with Parkinson's or whatever. And they said, man, I hope this is the end of her. I had to say goodbye really quick and leave them. I didn't want to be around them because I don't want that seed to be in me. How many know I don't want Hillary Clinton to die? I personally don't think she'd be a good president, but I don't want her to die. I want her to be redeemed. And we get into conversations and we get into situations where that's not the truth of the word. There are people that do sins that cannot be forgiven. And they're anathema. But I don't want to... That means that they can't be redeemed. But I don't want to know who that is. And I don't want to judge people like that because I believe everybody has a chance. As long as they're breathing in, breathing out, they got a chance. If they don't have a chance, that's between them and God. But I want to love them. Some people are very hard to love. And most politicians today are hard to love. But we have to. We have to. Because they see things differently. They're full of sin. That's okay. Guess what? You and I were there at one time. It's absolutely imperative that we remain free. Because nobody who's got a chain on their ankle can tell anybody about freedom. Don't talk to me about freedom. You know, you go witness to somebody that's yet to be saved and you talk about freedom and you got chains on you. It's not going to be effective. Are you there? We want to be people of God that are honest. Doesn't mean we're perfect. But it means as much as we can be to stay free, we've got to apply these truths. And then when we witness to somebody, we can actually tell them, guess what? You have victory in Christ. You can have victory in Christ. You can live a life of freedom. You can live a life of victory. You can live a life of inheritance. You can live a life of faith. Paul was able to get to a place where he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me, he said. Here's a murderer that became a Christian, that became a leader that says, follow me as I imitate me, imitate my life. What you heard from me, give it to other men that they may be godly men too. I'm seeing a lot of gray heads in here, seeing some young. I'm seeing we're getting older. We've got to pass it on to this younger generation. This is victory. I'm walking in freedom. I'm not walking in any bondage. I'm free. I'm not going to get there. I am there. See? Because if we're always getting there, it becomes frustration. If it's always the pitch, if our Christianity is always the picture of the donkey with the carrot on a stick, not many people are going to enjoy that. And I got the carrot a long time ago. I own the carrot. Well, we need to act like that. Calling things as not as own doesn't have anything to do with hypocrisy. The things that you're working on in your heart, continue to work on that. Don't expose them. Don't look like you're, I'm failing and, I'm under construction. The only difference is between you and I am Jesus. I'm under construction. No, you're constructed in Christ. You're complete in Christ. What Terry said last week, in Christ our position is complete. Now our behavior has to match up to it. And sometimes we have to fake it till we make it. Come on, someone. Isn't that real? We fake it till we make it. Man, biting your tongue when you want to say something you know you're not supposed to be saying. You're still going to deal with it because it's a thought inside. You've got to repent, but don't let anybody else know you're thinking that. Man, we need to walk in freedom in this hour. Boy, the world absolutely has to have a people that have a string of victory in their lives. Man, I'm walking in victory. I'm an overcomer. See, I'm not going to be an overcomer. I'm not waiting until the conference in November to be an overcomer. I'm an overcomer now, see. I'm not going to wait until the next book by, so-and-so comes out. I'm an overcomer now. Yes, I'm learning. Yes, I'm always learning. But the Bible says we have problems if we're always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. If we're always a student, we can never be a teacher. God's looking for teachers and leaders and disciplers. And it's you and me. Turn to somebody and say, that's you. See, we're taking on some responsibilities now. We're not looking at somebody else to lead. We're going to lead. Somebody said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. We're called to be leaders. And we make leaders. And God, that was God's intent all along. We talked on Sunday and Acts says, be my witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. You'll be witnesses to me. And witnesses are leaders, martyrs. We lay down our life, but we're leaders. Amen. And people are looking to you for leadership, whether they know it or not. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the preciousness of your word. Lord, it's so powerful that you said heaven and earth will pass away. Things we see with our eyes, we go out and look at the stars. You said that you would rend the heavens, that you're going to take all of this, it's going to be abolished, you're going to build a new heaven and a new earth. But your word, God, what we've just read plenty of scripture about, what we've talked about tonight, the invisible kingdom is unshakable. It's never going to go away. It's always going to be here. You said heaven and earth will pass away, but your word, God, would never pass away. It's the only thing that we can count on, God. Our trust has to be totally in you. And so, Father, renew our hunger again, Lord, for the Word. Stir our hearts again for your Word, God, that we might not only talk about being free, but actually walk in freedom. God, let us grip that. Let us walk in that. Father, let us have victory in every way. God, we thank you. And for those things that we fall short of, God, please forgive us. Lord, we're not going to walk in condemnation. We're not going to be those that say that you don't love us. You do love us, God. You do have a plan for our lives. And Lord, no matter how many times we fail, we purpose in our hearts tonight not to fail, but to walk in victory. Why? Because you promised it, Lord. You said, if I ask and believe, I'll have what I ask. So, Father, I pray that for each and every one tonight, Lord. This may have stimulated many things in their hearts. But, God, as they pray, as I pray, Father, Lord, we pray believing that we receive. For those that are believing for physical touch tonight, God, I believe with them. We release our faith, Lord, that you heal bodies. For those that are believing for a financial breakthrough, God, we believe for them and with them that, Lord, there'll be financial breakthrough. Lord, for those that are believing for relationships to be renewed, for loved ones to come to you, we agree tonight, Lord, that those things would take place. God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our world, topsy-turvy as it is. God, may they see more and more people walking in the victory that we talked about tonight. And we're candidates for that, God, that we would walk in that victory and be those that would reflect your glory, walk in your light, God, according to your loving kindness and mercy. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.